This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Comey takes the stand. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. Welcome into Thursday, June 8. Glad you could join us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Former FBI Director James Comey appears before the Senate Intelligence Committee today. Meanwhile, his prepared remarks have been released. Find out what he'll say.
Intel chiefs testified before that same committee that they never felt pressured by President Trump to cover up anything regarding the Russia investigation.
The Warriors scored the final 11 points of the game to beat the Cavs by 5. Golden State can win the NBA title tomorrow night.
And how tweeting when you should be sleeping can hurt your job performance, even if you're a pro basketball player.
Tweeting, no matter what it was, you could say anything. You could just say hi. But tweeting between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. Meant that players scored fewer points on the game. They didn't get as many rebounds, steals, blocks. I mean, basically, it negatively impacted their performance across the board.
Katie Hill at Moneyish.com on overnight tweeting by NBA players. She's here in about 20 minutes. The Senate Intelligence Committee has released the prepared remarks. We'll hear today from former FBI Director James Comey. Significant from Mr. Comey's remarks is that he confirmed to President Trump that the FBI had not opened a counterintelligence investigation into him. Mr. Comey wrote that he worried the president was seeking to secure his loyalty and wanted him to help lift the cloud of the Russia probe. Reaction from Oklahoma Republican Senator James Lankford.
Jim Comey was concerned about it, didn't like it, didn't want to be alone with the president at other times, thought that put him in an awkward situation. He had mentioned that later on in his written prepared statement there. But what he was very clear on is that the president wasn't saying to him, you've got to do this or else.
Democrats like California Congressman Adam Schiff struggled to find evidence of wrongdoing in Mr. Comey's remarks.
My first reaction is that this would be shocking and scandalous under the best of circumstances.
In an editorial, the Wall Street Journal says, at worst, Mr. Comey's account of Mr. Trump reveals a naive narcissist who believes he can charm the FBI director, but has no idea how Washington works. The Journal says this is not new information. Two leaders of the intelligence community say they were not pressured to cover up anything during questioning about whether President Trump tried to interfere in the Russia investigation. National Security Agency Director Mike Rogers testified yesterday before the Senate Intelligence Committee.
In the 3+ years that I have been the director of the National Security Agency, to the best of my recollection, I have never been directed to do anything I believe to be illegal, immoral, unethical, or inappropriate. And to the best of my recollection, during that same period of service, I do not recall ever feeling pressured to do so.
Democratic senators were frustrated by Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats, who would not offer specifics about private conversations with the president.
I do not feel it's appropriate for me to, in a public session in which confidential conversations between the president and myself, I don't believe it's appropriate for me to address that in a public session.
The purpose of the hearing was actually about reauthorization of a key surveillance law known as Section 702. This was passed as part of the FISA Amendments Act of 2008 when Congress decided to essentially legalize what had been known as the warrantless wiretapping program. The provision allows the U.S. to eavesdrop on the communications of foreigners outside the U.S., even though in the process, the NSA sweeps in the communications of many Americans who are in communication with those foreigners. President Trump has announced he's naming former Assistant Attorney General Christopher Wray to serve as the next director of the FBI. He made the declaration in a tweet yesterday. House Speaker Paul Ryan approves.
He seems like to me he's the perfect kind of person. I thought we should have a career person take over the FBI, someone with a deep bench of experience. He certainly seems to fit that bill.
Mr. Wray met with Mr. Trump late last month at the White House for an interview. Some of his background from Wall Street Journal White House reporter Rebecca Ballhouse. Rebecca, what do we know?
So there, Christopher Wray is somebody who's kept a relatively low profile, but has served in a number of positions in government. He started out in the Bush administration, where he ran the criminal division of the Justice Department. And since then, when he left in 2005, he served as a white-collar defense lawyer. And among his clients have been New Jersey Governor Chris Christie in his Bridgegate scandal. And Chris Christie, of course, after dropping out of the Republican presidential primary, has been a big ally of Trump and in many ways is considered to still have the presidency. And I think that this election sort of reinforces that idea.
All right. So he is walking in at a very difficult time if, in fact, he's confirmed by the Senate.
That's right. So obviously the last month has been pretty fraught for justice questions about the administration. The president fired his last FBI director last month, almost exactly a month ago today. Since then, a lot of questions have arisen, first of all, over the circumstances of Comey's firing, but also about the president's confidence in his attorney general, Jeff Sessions. So the news came out last night that Jeff Sessions in the last couple of weeks had offered to resign. There's been a lot of tension that he's had with the president ever since he recused himself earlier this year from matters involving the Russia investigation. And the Justice Department has also appointed a special counsel, former FBI Director Bob Mueller, to oversee the probe into Trump associates' ties to Russia. So there's a lot going on at both the FBI and the DOJ, and Wray is going to be entering sort of at a very sensitive time for all of these things.
And perhaps, I guess, in a not-so-unusual twist, right? Mr. Comey supported Mr. Wray in a prior appointment?
That's right. So this was in 2003. Wray was serving in the, or went on to serve in the DOJ under Comey. And when Wray was first nominated to the position, Comey wrote to the Senate Judiciary Committee on his behalf, supporting his nomination, and called him whip smart and hardworking. Of course, we don't know whether any of that might have changed in the last 14 years or so, but he was certainly supportive of him then.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal White House reporter Rebecca Ballhaus. Her piece is entitled Trump Taps Former Assistant Attorney General as New FBI Chief, talking about Christopher Wray. Mr. Wray, I guess in some ways, cut his teeth on that Enron trial, right? Wasn't that where he kind of made a name for himself?
That's right. That's certainly an area that he worked on while he was at the Justice Department, and he actually won quite a bit of bipartisan praise for his work on that. Norm Eisen, who was the ethics counsel for President Obama, tweeted that Wray was a good choice, said he was very fair when he was on that Enron task force, and said he endorsed the decision. And so far we've heard, some Democrats, I think, have questioned the timing of the president's selection. It's coming the night before James Comey is set to testify before a Senate panel tomorrow morning. Of course, this afternoon, Comey has already, Judicial Committee is released a copy of Comey's statement. So he hasn't quite gotten ahead of that. But I think some Democrats were a little bit suspicious that Trump was trying to distract from the testimony tomorrow. But we've seen some Democrats praise the decision, saying he seems like a good choice, someone who will have Americans' confidence in the post.
Thanks, Rebecca. Wall Street Journal White House reporter Rebecca Ballhaus. It's 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook, or you can follow me directly on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. What dad doesn't love to grill, especially when it's a great steak? Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks. And now this Father's Day, for only $49.99, you can get a limited-time Father's Day package when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter DEAL in the search bar. Omaha Steaks even offers online support with recipes and wine pairings. Here's the offer, 80% off Omaha Steaks Father's Day package, which includes 2 tender mild filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 crispy chicken fried steaks, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus get 4 additional burgers free. Only $49.99 at omahasteaks.com. Type DEAL in the search bar and add Father's Day package to your cart. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type DEAL in the search bar, grab your dad, and fire up the grill. Hey, glad you could be with us on this Thursday. Well, North Korea has had another busy morning. The isolated communist regime today fired multiple cruise missiles into the waters between Korea and Japan, a day after South Korea said it would suspend any further development of a controversial missile defense system to conduct an environmental review. The South Korean Joint Chiefs of Staff said they were likely anti-ship missiles fired from near the city of Wonsan on North Korea's east coast. They flew about 125 miles. Here's Army Lieutenant General James Dickinson.
The missile threat continues to grow, both in terms of numbers and sophistication. We as a nation must maintain our current readiness posture and continue to increase our capabilities to address future threats.
The missile launch, by the way, comes less than a week after the UN Security Council passed a new resolution expanding sanctions against North Korea as punishment for missile tests. Meanwhile, the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, or THAAD, system would be subject to this environmental review. The U.S. says the battery is operational and capable of shooting down North Korean missiles. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
And fired FBI Chief James Comey has confirmed that Donald Trump urged him to drop a probe into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn in a preview of hotly awaited testimony today. In a written statement ahead of his testimony to the Senate Intelligence Committee, Comey detailed how Trump repeatedly raised the Russia case with him earlier this year, asking him to go easy on Flynn, who is accused of improper links to Moscow. Trump complained the investigation was a cloud over his administration that needed to be lifted. Britain heads to the polls today to cast votes in a hotly contested election that will likely determine the country's strategy for exiting the European Union. Opinion polls suggest Prime Minister Theresa May, who leads the centre-right Conservative Party, will fend off socialist veteran Jeremy Corbyn, leader of the main opposition Labour Party. Corbyn tried to get his message out.
Who are we? We're young, we're old, we're black, we're white, we're gay, we're straight, we're disabled, we're not disabled. We are the community as a whole.
Surveys show that the government's advantage has shrunk over the course of the six-week campaign. It now stands at between 1 and 12 percentage points, down from 20 points or more at the start of the campaign. A Navy ship and local fishermen have found bodies and aircraft parts in the sea off Myanmar today, a day after a military plane carrying 120 people disappeared. The turboprop aircraft disappeared yesterday afternoon, about a half hour after takeoff. It was raining, but not heavily, at the time the plane disappeared. The Golden State Warriors own a three-game-to-none lead in the NBA Finals following a 118-113 comeback win over the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Kevin Durant had a team-high 31 points for Golden State, including a go-ahead three-pointer with 45 seconds left. And stunning news from the college football world is Oklahoma Sooners head coach Bob Stoops, the sport's longest tenured coach, has stepped down.
I didn't want to miss the right opportunity to be able to step away and hand this baton off to Lincoln Riley and to help keep this all just going in a great direction.
The 56-year-old Stoops won 10 conference championships and one national title in 18 seasons at Oklahoma. The program now in the hands of 33-year-old Lincoln Riley, who had been the team's offensive coordinator.
Wow. Shock in Norman.
That came out of nowhere.
Right?
It really did.
I saw that flash like on the screen last night. I thought, what?
Yep.
Very good. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. If you want to take your business to the top, take it to a top 10 state for business, Michigan. Contact MichiganBusiness.org today. You may not have needed a study to prove this, but the study was done on subjects we sometimes consider superhuman. Tweeting between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. could hurt job performance, as evidenced by the on-court performance of pro basketball players. Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com, says it only takes 140 characters to harm your career. Katie, explain.
Tweeting, no matter what it was, you could say anything. You could just say hi. But tweeting between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. Meant that players scored fewer points on the game. They didn't get as many rebounds, steals, blocks. I mean, basically, it negatively impacted their performance across the board.
Wow. Okay. Now, not to defend NBA players or those who tweet overnight, but you can schedule tweets sometimes.
True that. And I'm sure some of those were scheduled, but I'm sure a lot of them were not.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, what they think here is, honestly, that it has to do with sleep, right?
Yes.
That this is a proxy for when these people are awake and when they're not. I mean, it's not, they can't prove that, but that's sort of what they think is going on. Now, if all of these were scheduled, that might fly in the air. But I think for a lot of people, this is them live tweeting, and that's kind of showing, hey, they're not really getting enough sleep before the big game.
Yeah, and the not getting enough sleep, too, could also be reflected in the type of tweet that you're sending.
Right. If you send an incoherent or otherwise inadvisable tweet, probably not a good idea. But, you know, the researchers who looked at this said, you know, this is across the board. We think this is applicable across all industries. And I thought, yeah, you know, it makes sense. Like, there have been a number of celebrities who have sent ill-advised tweets in the middle of the night or the very early hours of the morning. There have been people who have been fired for this, you know, because you're often not really on your A-game at, you know, 2 in the morning or 4 a.m. And so, yeah, I thought, you know, this is probably pretty decent career advice for us all.
You know, isn't there an old bar reference that happens to parallel this type of thing? Don't tweet overnight and, what is it, nothing good happens after midnight at a bar or something like that?
Yeah, maybe it's don't drink and tweet. Maybe we can add that into here. You tend to be drinking between 11 p.m. and, you know, it's 7 a.m. maybe for a lot of people. So that probably doesn't help anything.
You get the sense that since social media sites like a Facebook or like a Twitter are relatively speaking still new, that this could be just a phase and we eventually put down the phone and realize, you know what, there are better things to do between 11 and 7.
You know, you would hope that's happening, but it really doesn't seem like it. I mean, it just seems like people forget that, you know, as someone told me, we all share the same internet, and people just are quick to react to everything and put their feelings out and put photos out before they even think about it. I don't see that much evidence that we're stopping that. I mean, there's certainly people who go on social media, you know, diets and go off it for a while, but, you know, they keep growing, so I don't know.
Katie Hill at moneyish.com. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Loans are made by WebBank. Funds are deposited for delivery next business day if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Amazon is not a part of this promotion. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
Do you know that some Americans have more credit card debt than savings? Don't you wish that there was an easy way to consolidate debt and save? With a fixed interest rate loan through Avant, that wish can come true. Through Avant, you can bundle all those bills and simplify your debt into one monthly payment, saving you time and money. Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a personal loan through Avant. It's all online with no prepayment fees and no collateral required. And you can have $1 to $35,000 in as little as one business day. No wonder Avant has an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau. And now Avant will also give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your rates with no impact to your credit score and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 8080 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 8080.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Thursday, June 8th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Comey's remarks released ahead of his testimony today. Intelligence chiefs say they never felt pressured by President Trump. North Korea today fired ground-to-ship missiles. Explosive device thrown onto the lawn of the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine. Election day in the U.K. Warriors now just 40 minutes away from the NBA title. NHL final game 5 tonight. And a list of the highest-paid athletes in the world. That story in about 20 minutes. In Washington business, besides James Comey testimony, in the coming weeks, Congress will vote on whether to raise the debt ceiling and increase the Treasury Department's ability to borrow money. Indiana GOP Congressman Jim Banks says maintaining the status quo and allowing more debt to accumulate is unacceptable. Jim, explain.
Well, first of all, Gordon, with a $20 trillion national debt, the fact that we're having another debate about raising the debt limit is disappointing to me as a freshman member of Congress. I ran for Congress to come to Washington and try to fix the spending issues in Washington, D.C. that have created a $20 trillion national debt. So here we are very soon, about to vote on raising the debt limit again. If we do that, I'm calling for Republicans to at least pass something in conjunction with that that would significantly restore fiscal sanity in Washington, D.C. at the same time.
All right, like what, for example?
Well, to tie the debt limit to some structural reforms of the spending process. So as a $20 trillion national debt grows, what are we doing about it? In the short or long term, addressing the non-discretionary spending in this country that's leading to a $20 trillion national debt in Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid is fundamental to getting there. That's what I think we have to do, and I hope the Republicans can come together to, when and if we're asked to vote to raise the debt limit in the next few weeks, at the same time, we should do something to address the $20 trillion national debt.
Yeah, because the discretionary spending has become a really small slice of the pie, right? I mean, the real effort needs to be made on things like Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare.
That's right, Gordon. About 70% of the federal budget is what we would call non-discretionary spending, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. So if we're going to address what is leading and growing a $20 trillion national debt, we have to start there. Those are the tough issues in Washington, D.C. It's why they call it the third rail of politics when you try to tackle issues like that. But my daughter's generation, my daughters are 7, 5, and 4 years old. They're counting on Republicans in the Congress today to do something about that. So it's concerning to me that we're not having that serious conversation yet. At the same time, in the next few weeks, we'll be asked to vote to increase the debt limit.
We're speaking with Indiana Congressman Jim Banks. All right, so how do you pay the bills if you can't like immediately raise the debt limit? Then, kind of, what happens here short term?
Well, what it means is the negotiation process should call for, at the same time, of doing what's necessary at this point of raising the debt limit. At the same time, that negotiation should include Republicans demanding that structural reforms to the processes that lead to a $20 trillion national debt happen at the same time. I think it's a pretty fundamental aspect of what we do on Capitol Hill, negotiating that at the same time as doing something that's necessary, like raising the debt limit, we should require that something is fundamentally done to change the way the system works to address the issues that we face. So that's what I'm calling for. I know other conservatives on Capitol Hill are concerned that we're at this point again with a Republican in the White House, Republicans leading the Senate and the House, and yet we're right back where we all campaigned against in growing a $20 trillion national debt. It's incumbent upon us to do something about it at the same time.
All right, so quickly before we let you go, Congressman, everyone's focused on the testimony by former FBI Director James Comey on Capitol Hill today. Do you expect we'll get something concrete out of this?
It's hard to say. At this point, it's a spectacle. It's a frenzy that feeds upon itself. That my fear is that will prevent us from fulfilling the agenda that the conservatives and Republicans sought out to fulfill on Capitol Hill. So, as a Republican, it's my hope that we can bypass the frenzy and focus on the big issues, from health care to tax reform, to some of the issues related to national security, and get back to work and get done what the American people elected us to do.
It's Indiana Congressman Jim Banks. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Not available in all states.
Hey, Tracy, heard you started your own business.
Yep, a Reese and Irvy's frozen yogurt vending franchise. It's the latest revolution in healthy frozen yogurt. My robots...
Wait, your robots?
Yep, my robots deliver 7 flavors of delicious and healthy frozen yogurt to customers in high traffic locations. And Reese and Irvy's provides everything we need to succeed.
And the robots do the work.
They work, so I don't have to.
How can I get my own robots?
Simply go to froyofranchising.com, enter promo code 1616, and submit your information. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 1616.
Thanks for being with us. Hey, reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow me directly on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. The guy to my right on Twitter goes by @RadioGavin1, and he's here now with some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we know that, and what must be a first for the industry, bars and restaurants around the country are holding viewing parties for congressional testimony. That, of course, being the much-anticipated appearance at the Capitol today by former FBI Director James Comey. If you plan to attend one of these get-togethers, or you prefer to do your day drinking at home, the Seattle Times has put together some guidelines for a drinking game based on the words and events that you might hear and see today. For example, take one sip if President Trump starts live tweeting during the testimony, or you hear a newscaster use the word blockbuster. Take two sips if you hear the words fired or obstruction, or the names Jeff Sessions or Jared Kushner. A mention of Russia or Vladimir Putin is worth three sips, and a whopping four sips is in order for anyone dropping collusion, back channel, Watergate, or witch hunt. Of course, if 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific is too early for you to imbibe, the game also works with coffee or tea, but for the sake of your coworkers, you might want to stick to decaf.
Coffee or tea? Who plays that? What kind of drinking game is that?
Well, I mean, it is 7 a.m. On the West Coast.
Well, listen, I mean, put your big boy shorts on, right? I mean, what are we doing? This is a drinking game.
I mean, look, it's testimony day. Come on, let's do it.
By the way, with four sips?
Yeah.
For some of those things? That's,
yeah.
I didn't realize you could, like, assign more than one sip to something in a drinking game.
I mean, I guess there are no hard and fast drinking game rules. One can assign anything they like.
Could be two or you three know. Sentences of those words. I mean, it could be lights out.
Yeah, it depends on how quickly, I guess, you want to you want to get this done and over with.
Right. By the way, I think it was in college, we played a drinking game to a Madonna song.
Okay.
Holiday? She said you have to sip every time she's saying a holiday or celebrate, and at the end, like, she goes back and forth, like, one to one.
Yes. I've also seen a similar one for Roxanne. Oh, okay. And put on the red light or whatever that he says after that. Right. Yeah. So there's a few of those out there.
So much important information coming from the show this morning.
Yes. And in a feat, Gordon, to rival any other seen on the field, rink, or basketball court this spring, a man displayed his athletic prowess recently by pressing a single piano key more than 800 times in a minute. Domingo Antonio Gomez, a professional musician who has been playing since he was 7 years old, set the Guinness record for most piano keys hit in 1 minute by playing the B7 key 824 times in 60 seconds. Gomez's technique, which involved alternating between two fingers to press the key on a concert grand piano, allowed him to beat the previous record of 765 hits. And in case you're wondering what that might sound like, here you go.
Whoa.
Like a machine gun. Gomez says he practiced the feat for 4 months and used a metronome to keep the rhythm as he frantically tapped each finger on the key in rapid succession.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not think it would sound that fast.
I mean, if you do the math, I mean, that's like more than 10 times per second, right? I mean, that's you know, 12 to 15 times. So it's probably about 15 times per second, right?
Jeepers. And he shattered the record.
Yeah.
I mean, by like, what'd he do? 765, like almost by 60 hits.
I mean, you must
That's
have
unbelievable.
Some, you must have forearms, you know, like you wouldn't believe, right?
Yeah. Holy cow. Good audio. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, some legal experts say conversations attributed by the fired FBI director to President Trump were just clumsy and inappropriate. Others say James Comey's recollections could provide enough evidence to build a case that the president tried to interfere with a criminal investigation. Released yesterday, Comey's remarks detail a series of conversations between the men about the investigation into contacts between the Trump campaign and Russia. Reaction from Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas.
I think every president wants loyalty from his appointees, but I think Mr. Comey appropriately pointed out that an FBI director is different from a traditional political appointee.
Adam Schiff is the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee.
The president demanded his loyalty, didn't get it. The president asked him to drop the Flynn case, and he didn't do it. Is this why Jim Comey was fired?
Comey's expected to begin testifying today at 10 Eastern Time. Police arrested three more people last night in connection with last week's London Bridge terror attack that left eight people dead and dozens more injured. A 27-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of the preparation of terrorist attacks, while a 33-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of possession with intent to supply controlled drugs. A lawyer has asked for a new trial for a Wisconsin man convicted in a case profiled in the Making a Murderer Netflix series. The attorney claims Stephen Avery's conviction was based on planted evidence and false testimony. She contends Avery deserves a new trial in the interests of justice. You can now zip line off the Eiffel Tower, but you only have a few more days to do it. As part of an effort to promote the French Open, sparkling water company Perrier has set up a Le Perrier Smash. Riders jump off the Eiffel Tower at a height of 375 feet, then fly 55 miles an hour for a half mile. The attraction, which also features a virtual version for people who are too afraid to zip line, is open until Sunday.
Wow. That's cool.
You would do that?
Oh, definitely do that. Definitely do that. 55 miles an hour.
Not sure about that.
That is moving.
It is.
Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. Hey, glad you're with us. Real Madrid star Cristiano Ronaldo and Cleveland Cavaliers all-star LeBron James lead the list of Forbes' highest paid athletes for 2017. ESPN's Darren Rovell tweeted out the top 10 highest paid athletes on the Forbes list, which features four NBA players. LeBron may be down 3-0 in the NBA Finals after last night's loss to the Warriors, but his total earnings, including salary and endorsements, is $86 million a year, compared with Kevin Durant's $61 million and Steph Curry's $47 million. Ronaldo, by the way, is the only athlete making over $90 million in salary and endorsements. Soccer's Lionel Messi, third on the list at $80 million. Roger Federer, who ranks fourth on the list, earns the overwhelming amount of $64 million in endorsements, compared to just $6 million for his on-court tennis performance. Formula One racing star Lewis Hamilton, the only auto sport athlete in the top 10 with $46 million. And despite playing just seven rounds of golf since September of 2015, Tiger Woods still ranks number 17 in earnings thanks to $37 million in endorsements. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.